The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I've Never Told You, production of iHeartRadio. So, for today's question, Samantha, I'm just curious, do you have a lot of knowledge or experiences with the Catholic Church?
The only thing I really know about the Catholic Church has everything to do with TV. Mm-hmm. So like the Da Vinci Code and or any real horror movies about possession.
Yep. Yep.
And of course, I know about all of the scandals within the Catholic Church. And a little bit of the history of the Catholic Church. So way back when with all the wars. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. So I don't know the inner and out of all of this, like being confirmed and all of that.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I also have a lot of knowledge from horror movies. Stigmata was one of my favorite horror movies when I was a kid, which was not... Eves and I talked about that. Not good. And I'm sure the Catholic Church really doesn't like that. That our knowledge comes from horror movies. But Katie, who you've now heard on the show, she was one of my best friends growing up. And she, her family, her mom is really Catholic and her dad is really Methodist, which I thought was so cool as a child. But one time she took me, Katie took me to church, and I think we were 9 to the Catholic church. And she was really concerned I was going to embarrass her. So she was giving me all these, like, you can't do this. You can't do this because you're not Catholic. You can't do this. And it was only us in the church. And I was trying to like tease her and I just shouted at the top of my lungs, give me that communion. And it turns out the priest was actually there. And wasn't really thrilled about that. yeah. And then I just sort of sat quietly during the whole thing. I was always kind of jealous about the confession thing. I don't know why. And then my ex-boyfriend, who I dated for 3 years, his family was Catholic. And so I did end up going to a lot of very long ceremonies.
Okay.
So I have experience in that way, but I'm not very familiar outside of what I know from them and what I know from horror movies.
Right. For me, my family, who is very Western Christian, so very Protestant, they're not exactly First Baptist. They're a little more old school, very mystic, for the lack of better terms, in comparison to. So seeing any other religion outside of our denomination was heretical. So me even trying to step foot into a Catholic church, I think my mother would have been upset. Outside of like the cultural
right.
areas that had all the beautiful art and, yeah. you know, history of it. And that's about it. So everything, like, growing up, it was just like a... Mm-hmm. Even though I did have a family member who was a devout Catholic and had the jewelry and the, had the saints and all of that, which I was fascinated by. I'm fascinated by yeah. saints in general. But yeah, mm-hmm. seeing all of that, like growing up with that, they Catholics were the other for my family.
Yeah. They did. I mean, that because the religion is so old and it has been in so many like movies and TV. And I remember as a kid being like, they drink wine.
We drink wine. But homemade Dang. Wine.
Oh, we had the Welch's grape juice.
We had the homemade wine, the unleavened bread, and foot washing. Like it was, when I say level of was, mystical, it was level.
Yeah. That was very Southern, Samantha. Very.
You're welcome.
So, oh, I forgot one of our coworkers. I need to look this up after because I totally forgot about this. His grandfather used to work at the Vatican and he had a Wikipedia page.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is for another time. All is to say, we're doing a very brief look at why women can't become popes. But clearly, Samantha and I are not religious theologians. We don't know a lot about the Catholic religion outside of these things we picked up from friends or entertainment. So please don't turn to us for that.
Yes. Also, we absolutely recognize that this is a form of belief. And if you believe in this... That is yeah. all you, and absolutely think you need to do what you feel is in your faith mm-hmm. and what keeps you going.
Yes, yes. I will say, because Katie was my best friend and her family was very, very religious, this idea of the Pope has long been something of a curiosity to me, and especially because I loved Harry Potter when we were growing up together, and the Pope, I can't remember which one, but basically one pope, I think it was John Paul, said, yes, Harry Potter is fine. And the previous pope had said it wasn't fine. Right. And so she went from not allowing Katie to read it to allowing her to read it and actually suggesting it to me and me being like, huh, all right. I'm happy we can read it now. But okay.
I mean, we could talk about the whole level of witchcraft and religion in general because my parents were absolutely, we couldn't even dress up. As a witch.
Oh, wow.
And that is, uh-huh. again, a very Protestant viewpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. I had another friend who I had to sneak Harry Potter to her because her parents thought it was like anti-religious and they wouldn't let her read it. Little troublemaker I was with the books.
You sure were. Look at you.
So this episode is brought to you by my curiosity. I was curious if a woman could ever be the Pope. I have no idea why this came to my mind. As far as I know, I didn't consume any news item about it, but I was just suddenly like, can a woman become the Pope? The answer is no. right now, the answer is no. Because in order to become the Pope, you have to be ordained, and women are currently prohibited from becoming priest. Worth noting, this is based on history, not doctrine. There's nothing that says women can't become priest or the Pope. The Catholic Church argues that this is based on the fact that Jesus chose 12 men to be apostles and that they in turn chose men to continue their ministries in their absence. On top of that, during communion, when Catholics believe that the bread and wine become the body of Jesus Christ and the priest recites the last words of Jesus Christ, do this in remembrance of me, the church, capital C, believes that this should physically be a man, the person administering this, like Jesus was. Even the discussion of the possibility of women as priests has been called disrespectful to the Catholic religion. And to reiterate, obviously, we're talking about like the church and the higher ups at the church. Not all Catholicism is practiced this way. I'm pretty sure I've heard about maybe less than official, but female priests. This is the church's stance, though. This is their official stance. End of episode. Just kidding.
And I'm not going to lie, as you're talking about this, and we're going to talk a little more, I couldn't help about Sinead O'Connor, which we've already talked about your big mishap in confusing her with Donna Lewis. And I'm still very upset about this, and I will never forget
my
it.
My big mishap.
And I will never forget it. Like, I was like, if you'd done cranberries, anybody but this other person, I would have forgiven you. But Sinead O'Connor was infamous for ripping the Pope's picture on SNL and got ousted essentially by her whole industry. She is now a priest that was ordained by the controversial Bishop Michael Cox. And of course, there's this whole back and forth about whether or not she could be a priest because she is a woman, and her saying, nothing you can do will invalidate my priesthood to specific people who are trying to say she's not. So I find that interesting that she still is, well, was, as of this article, a part of that industry. I guess it was 1999 that she did this. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of things that will go back and forth. And I do remember that a part of the Catholic Church. That is something that is seared into my brain growing up, just an FYI. So there have been some moves to expand positions open to women in the capital C church. Earlier in 2021, Sister Natalie Beckhart from France became the first woman appointed as the undersecretary of the Synod of Bishops, granting her voting rights. These bishops debate important issues impacting the Roman Catholic Church and advise the pontiff. This is after Pope Francis appointed six women to counsel and oversees the finances of the Vatican, among other positions, and updated church laws to allow women to serve to the altar and administer communion. And we know Pope Francis and Pope Benedict were a little more liberal as popes.
Yeah, I should ask Katie how her mom is with Pope Francis, because she was okay in the last one, the more liberal things happening, but I'm not sure about this. I'm curious. Interestingly, there has been a soul woman pope, according to medieval legend, Pope Joan, or actually Pope John or Johannes Anglicus, who was actually a woman named Joan. A 13th century monk wrote about how Pope Joan became pregnant and ended up giving birth during a church procession. As with most things like this, though, there was a lot of debate whether this person, man or woman, even existed. There is recent archaeological discoveries there have been that indicate that this person may have existed.
Wait, are we talking about Joan of Arc?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No.
Just checking.
Another religious Joan. There can be more than one religious Joan.
I guess so. I'll allow it.
I would love to come back and revisit this, but people aren't sure that this person existed, but potentially they did. And actually, these recent discoveries, people are using in arguments about, well, if she did exist, then women can't, there is a precedent and women can be pope.
Right.
So ongoing conversation. Obviously, as you touched on, Samantha, there are a lot of other issues with the Catholic Church that we could and probably will one day talk about. But this was just me having a random question and hoping that some of you listeners might have had this question at one point too.
Yeah, there you go. I never knew. I think it's interesting to think on general about religion and women and overall arguing and all the issues within religion, period. So we could just leave that as a period and not just the Catholic Church. And we've talked a little bit about that overall. But yeah, so good to know. Maybe there was a female pope.
Maybe.
Not Joan of Arc, though.
Yeah, no, different Joan. And when I was reading, this is a big area of debate about whether it should be changed at all to allow women to become pope, to become the pope. And even proponents of it and people who've studied Catholicism are like, yeah, probably will never happen. But, I mean, there have been some changes. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Yes. In the meantime, listeners, we would love to hear from you. Our email is stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.